getting married, having children, being saved, and taxes. Those are some of the core landmarks of life for many of us.
And today's question touch on exactly each of these areas. I'm Kenia Reyes.
And I'm Ruben Covarrubias. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. So Ruben, I am excited to jump into those questions that our viewers have sent in. I heard we have topics on marriage and family and kids and taxes. I'm ready to hear them.
Absolutely, me too. And I'm excited to hear the answers to these questions. But before we do, I just wanted to remind our viewers that if they have any questions and they'd like to see those questions answered on this program, they can still call in with their questions and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. They can even send us a text, get on our Facebook, our Instagram, or get on our website at hopetobe.org/Bible Help Desk. And if possible, leave us an email so we can contact you back.
Well, joining us today, we have a friend of our show, Dr. Galina Shtelly. Dr. Galina Shtelly has a doctorate in ministry and has served as a professor at Zawoski Theological Seminary, as an editor and a director of missiology. Dr. Shtelly, it's great to have you with us again.
My pleasure.
Also with us, we have our friend Dr. Martin Hanna, who is the Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at the seminary at Andrews University. He is also interested in the intersection of science and theology, and he is the project leader for this science theology dialogue by the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Dr. Hanna, it's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, before we get into all of these questions, I would love to share a verse with you today that we find in Psalms 27:4. And it reads, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Today, we have so many questions from all of our viewers, and we know that we are all constantly seeking for answers. But it is my prayer that we may be seeking his face each and every day. And I also pray that someday we will all be able to see him face to face. Won't that be wonderful? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness, your love, and your mercy, Lord. We thank you because we have this opportunity to get into your word and to be able to learn more about you, Lord, to be able to let you lead us through life. But Lord, our biggest desire is to be able to see you face to face. And we ask that you help us get there, that we may be able to look upon your glorious face and just be able to be overwhelmed with your beauty. We thank you because you give us this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and jump into that first question that came to us via text. And it says, is there any issue with a Christian going through IVF, or which is in vitro fertilization? Is it going against God's will? Dr. Shtelly, here we have someone who is asking about basically maybe having problems conceiving a baby, and they want to make sure that they are not going against God's will when it comes to in vitro fertilization. Does the Bible touch on anything like this?
Yes. You know, some people are interested in this question because now we probably know many, many cases when spouses are childless. So they are looking for an option what to do and how to solve this problem. And with modern technology, something like that is now available. So we can see that, you know, actually Bible does not speak about this method, although it is now widely known as assisted reproductive technology. But we can say that in this sinful world, you know, our body and functions of our body not necessarily function properly all the time. And sometimes our organs, for example, heart or pancreas or others, they don't function well. and we need some assistance, you know, medical assistance or even intervention to fix the problem. The same can be the case with reproductive organs as well. So what can we advise for spouses that are looking for a decision in this important matter? We can say that they need to follow the same steps as with other important decisions. They need to pray, maybe even fast. They need maybe to go to counseling or to gather information. But most of all, they need to look for God's leading. And I would like to suggest very good advice that we can use any time when we lack wisdom. And we can read from James, first chapter, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith. So I think this is very good advice to seek for wisdom from God.
Absolutely. And you know, that text from the book of James is actually one of my favorites as well. So I'm glad you pointed that out for those that are wondering if this is something that can be God's will. Thank you so much for your answer. Dr. Hannah, is there anything else that we can add to what Dr. Stelly was saying in regards to this question?
Yeah, that was quite a good answer. I'd just like to affirm what Dr. Stelly said, and that is that when the Bible does not give us specifics about some of the challenges that we face, it does provide for us principles that we can use in order to discover the answer that God would have for us. And so we see God himself adapting to different circumstances in a sinful world. You know, after Adam and Eve sinned, for example, God made them garments of skin to keep them warm and to cover their nakedness. This was not the ideal plan, but it was a plan to make up for the difficult circumstances in which they were. So we make a mistake if we think that we have to find in the Bible a specific commandment about every difficult problem we face. If the Bible were to address every detailed situation that we face in our modern 21st century, it would be too big a book to ever finish reading it. But God has given us principles in the book that will guide us and give us the wisdom we need in order to make these difficult decisions that life throws in front of us. And so I love that idea about praying, getting counsel from medical professionals, speak with spiritual leaders, and get insights as to what should be done in these challenging situations. Some people choose to adopt. Other people choose in vitro fertilization. All of these options can be considered prayerfully by Christians.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Well, jumping into our next question, it came in via voicemail from our viewer, Dr. Nichols, and we're just going to summarize his voicemail. And it reads, do you have to repent to be saved, or do you get saved, then repent? Dr. Hannah, you know, I've actually heard this type of phrasing sometimes in movies or in conversation about being saved. Do we have to repent to be saved, or are we saved then repent? What does the Bible say in regards to this?
Yeah, this is quite an interesting question, Kenya. And I think the key to answering it is to recognize that repentance is bigger than we sometimes think. And salvation is bigger than we sometimes think. And because of that, we could say the answer is yes and yes. Repentance comes before salvation, and salvation comes before repentance. It all depends on which aspect of salvation you're talking about and which aspect of repentance you're talking about. So we need to remember that God saved us when Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. That's one aspect of salvation. And then secondly, we receive salvation when we exercise repentant faith toward God. And then thirdly, after having received salvation, we continue to repent as we discover that we still fall short of God's perfect will for our lives. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, which talks about repentance, can be applied to both our experience before we receive salvation by faith and to our experience after we receive salvation by faith. Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God doesn't want anyone to perish, anyone to be lost eternally. So he leads us to repentance by his Holy Spirit. We repent and receive salvation through faith. And then, having been saved, we still live a life of repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So obviously here, repentance precedes salvation. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then we have a message to the church in Revelation 2, 5, where God says to Christians, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So it seems to me from the biblical revelation then that there is a repentance of faith by which we receive the salvation that Jesus has already accomplished for us on Calvary. But there's also repentance that is part of the Christian experience. As we grow in grace and in sanctification, we regret our mistakes and repent of them as we keep pressing on the upward way.
Yes, I really, really loved how you pointed out that this is part of the Christian experience. It's almost like a never-ending cycle where we are saved, and which leads us to repentance, and it just kind of is never-ending. Thank you so much for that answer, Dr. Hannah. Dr. Shelley, is there anything that you would also like to add that is found in the Bible to answer this question?
Well, I totally agree that this is a never-ending process, probably. And I also would like to encourage, you know, Christians who probably experience sometimes and the same problem, that they always need to grow in Christ, and still they're growing, and they still need to repent. And so I would like to say and encourage them that even Apostle Paul knew this struggle. And he wrote, for example, in Romans chapter 7, 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he also, in another letter to Galatians, in chapter 5:16, he gives this advice. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have these good advices, and we need to be encouraged to go forward and to grow in Christ, and also to use this option of repentance so that we can never look back, but always look forward.
Yes, excellent. Thank you for those words of encouragement as we continue in our Christian experience in this never-ending cycle. Thank you both for your answers.
Absolutely. You know, Kenya, before we go out to our break, I want to remind our viewers about our Bible studies that we have. We've had some questions as we dived in that can ask for further study. And so we want our viewers to go to our to the website of hopebiblestudy.org. There they can get a list of various Bible studies that can be sent out to them. And if they're in North America, they can actually call us and leave us their address, and we'll actually mail those Bible studies out to them. We want people to continue diving into the Word. Don't just use this program as an end-all. Continue diving in. And again, go to hopebiblestudy.org and get those Bible studies so you can continue diving in. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you ever wondered if there was more to life? Do you have big questions with hard-to-find answers? The Discover Bible Guides are Hope Channel's free gift to you. These 26 beautifully illustrated guides cover major themes of the Bible and answer some of life's deepest questions. Visit hopebiblestudy.org or call 888-446-7388 and begin your journey to discovery today.
I'm Andre Hastick from the Bible Help Desk program. Every week we open up the Word of God together here live. And there's one thing that I know, that when the Bible is open, lives are changed. Has your life been impacted by what we do here on this program? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at BibleHelpDesk@hopetv.org. or you can give us a call at 833-BIBLE-HD. We'd love to feature your story soon.
Our third Creation Life principle is environment. Environment is key to well-being, and it's often overlooked. In our current situation, it's hard to think about soaring pine trees, crashing ocean waves, and beautiful vistas. We're restricted to home or newly defined workspaces with fewer choices. And while we can't control what happens outside our home, we can't control what we see and sense every day inside it. What can you do to create a home environment that's calm, or at the very least, a place of order? Perhaps this means new ways of staying organized or a schedule of activities. It might even mean a new set of house rules. Whatever space you're living in, know that your environment impacts your well-being. Create a plan for making the best of it, and always be considerate of the others. Be safe, be healthy. That's Creation Life.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Remember that you can still text us your questions or call us at 833-BIBLE-HD and leave us a voicemail. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram or on our website, hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. Today, our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Galena Shtelly and Dr. Martin Hanna. We've had some excellent questions up until now. So Ruben, what is our next question?
Well, we're going to dive into another question that came to us via text from our friend Cherie. And it says, in Genesis 1, it talks about God spoke and it was done. But in Genesis 2:19, it says, out of the ground, God formed every beast and fowl of the air. This is very confusing. Did he speak or form them? Dr. Shtelly, here we have a question about the creation. How did God form the fowl and the beasts of the air? How can we answer this question for her?
Yes. Yeah, you know, God's word has creative power, and we have confirmation for that. Let's read from Psalm 33, and we can read verse 6, 8, through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So we have confirmation of that everything was created by the word of God. But it's interesting also to note that in chapter 2, not only 2:19 use the word formed, but also in chapter 2, verse 7, it is also used, the same verb is used in relation to the creation of man. And so it adds a personal touch of God. And also this verb has a meaning like shape, to fashion, to form, to shape, to fashion. And I think this has this connotation of individual approach to every kind that God created.
Yeah, that's so important and so inspiring to know that of how God in the creation, that individualistic approach, that each one was important to him when he was forming man. Thank you so much. Dr. Martin, anything else that we can add to this question?
Yeah, it's important to recognize that the creation of the world and the creation of animals and birds and the creation of Adam and Eve is a miraculous, supernatural act of God. And even after God tells us about it in the Bible, we still don't know exactly how he did it. We believe what he says. He says, I did it by my word. But we don't understand that word, because the words we speak don't have the kind of power that God's words have. And so when we think about God's action, it's always mysterious. And so we could say that God forms us through his creative word. You know, because his word has creative power. So there doesn't have to be a contradiction between God speaking us into existence and God forming us, you see?
Yes.
God says, let us make man. That's his word. And man is created by that word. But God also formed man out of the dust of the ground. And so everything is created by the word of God, but everything is also formed by God. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. It's a theological statement about God's creative power, but I cannot describe scientifically exactly how it works. I'm willing to let the mystery remain until I attend the University of Heaven.
Amen. And to know, and we all look forward to that, so we can ask even in depth more in these questions, but just that touch on this was so important. That power of God's word is so, so impactful. Dr. Stelling, Dr. Hahn, thank you so much for those answers.
I definitely appreciated the beauty of the imagery of God creating us and taking that individual approach. So thank you so much. Well, our next question came in via voicemail, so let's take a listen.
Is it right to marry more than one wife?
I know that the Bible sometimes has shown us different scenarios, but we want to know what is the right answer here to help our friend Elijah.
Well, we should probably start our answer to this question by considering what Jesus had to say about marriage. He said something interesting in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6. Jesus said, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife." Notice, one man and one wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So this word from Jesus informs us that God's ideal for marriage is one husband and one wife. And the husband is male and the wife is female, and the two become one flesh. This is God's plan for marriage. This is the ideal. Now, there may be exceptional circumstances where people end up with more than one wife for various reasons. It may be by death or other reasons or divorce, but that's an accommodation because of living in a world of sin. God's ideal plan is one husband and one wife.
Okay, well, thank you for giving us straight from the Word of God, and also remembering what God's original plan was, right? And His original plan was to see us with our husband or our wives, to be together happily and enjoying this life that we have in Him. So thank you for those answers straight from the Word of God.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. You know, I'm reminded, you know, Kenya, marriage is a great thing. And so to keep happy with one another. So thank you again. I want to reiterate that. Well, let's jump into our next question, sent to us via text. And it says, where can I find what the Bible states about tithing? Specifically, do we tithe on our gross income before taxes or on our net take-home income? I'm unclear as for guidance on this. Now, Dr. Hannah, here is a topic that has been discussed before on this very program, and that is on tithing. And we discuss how Jesus did talk about this, but now someone is asking the specifics about it. How do we answer this question biblically when it comes to how much to tithe?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. I think a key text that can be helpful is found in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." And I'd like to focus on that last phrase, all your increase. And so I would suggest that when we have an increase of our income, an increase on our possessions, that we ought to tithe on all of that increase, which means we tithe on the gross increase, not on the net increase. And another principle that I think is very helpful to consider is that we ought to honor God first, even before we honor the government. I mean, who is more important in our lives? The government to whom we pay taxes? And of course, the Bible teaches us that we should be faithful citizens in paying our taxes as is required by the government. But we ought to honor God first. He is more important. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all other things will be added onto you. So I think we take out the tithe first, the 10% of our income, of our increase, and then we take out those taxes that belong to the government. And in this way, we show our willingness to put God first in our lives.
Absolutely. Wow. Thank you so much for that clear understanding of which direction to go with it, with our tithing. Now, Dr. Stelly, anything else we can add to this question when it comes to tithing?
I would like to add that, God always, when he asks something, he promises also blessings. And I would like to remind us about a beautiful text. It's about tithing, but it's also about blessings. And it is written in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be the room enough to receive it. So I would like to encourage our viewers to be faithful to the Lord and also to experience his abundant blessings.
Amen. Thank you so much for that reminder of the God's blessings. That's so, so important for us to remember, because we can get caught up in the numbers and all this. But when we give all that has been asked, God is wanting to bless us. And I really like the way he was saying he's going to open the storehouse. That's such a great imagery. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the answers to those questions.
Yes, I really appreciate that. We've definitely gotten some answers here today with all of our questions that really help us in our daily lives. Issues that we come across because we do live in a world of sin, because we live in a world where so many things happen and we can experience so many different situations. But I think it's so beautiful to know that in his word, God had already provided answers to so many questions. He knew what we might come across. He knew what we might experience. And it's so wonderful to find hope in scripture. So thank you so much to both of our guests today, to Dr. Stelly and Dr. Hannah, for joining us and for giving us hope through the word of God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Well, we've come to the end of another program, Kenya. It has been so good diving into the Bible, into God's word, learning more about him. And so I want to remind our viewers that they can continue sending us a question. Even when we're not on, when you're not watching us, give us a call, leave us a voicemail, send that question, and we want to answer that question for you straight from the Bible. You can even send us a text. Check us out on Facebook, on Instagram, and go ahead and type that question there, or go on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk and leave us a question there, and we're going to get right to it. So thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.